Go to Hebrews chapter 5. That's where we left off the last time we were here. Seems real bad to miss two Sundays. It's been 2.5 weeks since I preached anything. The last was Wednesday night when we talked about Satan's stronghold. But in Hebrews chapter 5, let's go down in verse 10 and let's read 10 through 14. All right, it says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, or Melchizedek, some people say, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now, there you go. Got a lot to tell them. They ain't listening. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Oh, there's so much to say about all of that. What do you spend most of your time with these little children doing? Trying to get them to use their senses. Get off the couch. You're going to fall. Don't run on the couch. How many times do we say that a day? Fee's got a bruise on her face from falling off the couch the other night. I don't know if Ada's got one too, but she fell off the couch the other night. You know how they're going to learn to not do that? They're going to have to learn to exercise some sense. And you do that by falling off the couch. Mm-hmm. I want to read you another little bit of scripture here in Luke chapter 8 before we get started. But it's concerning the parable of the sower, which I refer to often. But in Luke chapter 8, verse 15 through 18, Jesus said, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Now they listened, and they heard it, and they kept it. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Jesus said that. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So it's a real tragedy when God has so much to give and there's no one able to receive it. To me, that's a real tragedy. I see that more and more the older I get. There's so much to have, and so little people got their cup ready. So few people have their hand out. Got their hand out for worldly things, but not for spiritual things. So much to be known, to learn, to grow by. When God has sent somebody who has something from God to give, that would be a blessing and strengthen. But no one can understand what he's talking about. That's tragedy. Sad. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. It's an offense to God. When he offers and you refuse. When he has it and you just will not take it. What do you do with those little children when you're trying to feed them and they spit it out at you? Or they clam their mouth shut? Well, if it was my kid, they'd just go hungry. I think God's that way too. He don't cram it down your throat. God's never going to cram truth down your throat. It's there. It's obvious. He reveals it to you and gives light so you can understand. But if you won't understand,
right.
So it's a very sad thing when dullness of hearing closes the door to any further growth or learning. That's a shame. There's a lot of reasons why you could not learn, and we're going to kind of go through some of that here, but boy, that's the worst reason of all, just that you will not hear. Have many things that to say and that are hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing. You ever try to talk to somebody, can't hear you? Will not hear you? Now, there's two words, hear and listen. Everybody can hear unless there's something wrong with their ears. But very few people listen. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Do you just hear noise? You catch yourself often having to think back on what somebody just told you because you wasn't listening. You're thinking about something else and they're just noise in the background. You may be looking right at them. You may be doing it right now while I'm preaching to you. People are good at that. Sitting in the church and they ain't hearing a word you're saying. They're playing ball. They're watching some movie in their mind or thinking about something else or thinking about what they're going to fix when they get home to eat or what they're going to do tomorrow. We see people that are physically or mentally limited from birth or from some disaster that's happened to them who can't. They'll never be able to attain to more in life than to sit in a chair or lie in a bed. And don't we feel bad about that? Don't we look at people like that and say, ain't that such a shame? We were talking about somebody the other day that we knew long, long time ago, and he had a car wreck, and it ended up he was just a vegetable in the bed. And nobody even knew really if he could hear you or was aware of what was going on around him, but it was just, oh, it just grieves your heart because here's such a wasted life. And you don't know if you can talk to them if they're hearing you or not. It's hard to talk to somebody, but you don't know if they're listening to you or not. And so it ought to cause us greater sorrow to see people who sit in church for a lifetime and are never able to know anything about God but the very basic principles of Christ. Have to go back and tell you that again and again and again. I know people like that. I know people that I've known all my life who've sat in church all of their life and they don't know anything other than Jesus died to save them from their sins. And they don't really understand that if they don't understand more than that after sitting in church for years and years. We were talking home a lot and I told her the other day, this grieves me more as I get older and as I grow and learn. I'm just really troubled about the souls of so many people. How few people really know God and understand. They sit in church and they'll go along with anything. They'll run in pace with everybody else, but they don't understand. Mm-hmm. It's not the will of God for people to be shallow in their knowledge of God. There's a lot of things about God and His ways that are hard to be uttered, hard to explain, hard to express, hard to use words to get you to understand. It's hard to, there's a lot of things that are hard to utter. And since they're hard to utter, they're hard to understand on the other end too. If they're hard to express, then you got to be paying close attention on the other end and thinking, or you're not going to receive. Right. I mean, you may have the best effort made at preparing and explaining and laying it out so you can understand, and you won't understand yet if you don't apply yourself on the other end to listen. Take heed how you listen, how you hear. Jesus said, you've got to learn to listen to the things of God. Listen for the things of God. It's not the preacher who does it. It's not the teacher who does it. It's the Spirit of God that does it. Yes. He's the one that lights, turns the light on in your soul, but you've got to be listening to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God's got a whole thing going here. He calls preachers and He gives gifts to teachers and preachers to be able to express and explain and guide you in your thinking with words to get you to a place where God can turn the lights on. And if you won't participate in any of that, if you're going to be your own island and your own thing and you're going to figure it out yourself, you're not going to figure it out. We need help. And that's why there's a church. That's why God does His work through a church, through His people. We come to church to learn and to be edified and strengthened one with another. It's the Word of God that is used by the Spirit of God to do that. There's a lot of things about God that's hard to be uttered. And since they're hard to communicate for people to receive and understand them, they've got to listen and be focused. You know, that's why the preacher made you guys sit there and look at him. Yes. You got to focus your mind. He was trying to get that across. Now, you can do that. You can learn to do that and still let your mind be a wonder. You can put it on your face. And he knew that.
Yep.
Everybody else knows it too. But there's got to be some kind of a demand for that.
Yes.
You know, listen to me.
Right.
I've got something that God has showed me that I want to show you. God wants you to understand this.
Yes.
So you got to listen.
Yes.
On purpose. A lot of modern pulpits, sadly, are filled with men mostly who don't know anything but milk themselves. And I hate to say things like that, but it is the truth. It is just absolutely the truth. You tell me a story about going to a revival meeting in the church here a while back. Well, it's been a few years back. But the preacher was fascinated with the idea of Joseph being a type of Christ. I mean, a pastor. Don't even know any more than that. Leading a flock of people. And charged with feeding that flock. With what?
Yeah.
What you got? Nothing but milk. What is the milk? It's the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That's the first things. That is, you're a sinner. Jesus died for your sins. And He was risen again. He rose from the dead. And that's the gospel. The basic principles of Christ. That's all. A lot of people think that's all we're supposed to know. I would know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. And they think that anything else shouldn't even be preached in the church. Just Jesus over and over, every Sunday, nothing, every service, nothing but just preach Jesus and Him crucified. And that's all we know. That's all we need to know. No, it's not. But we got verses right here that tell us expressly that that is not what the church is for. And that's not what's supposed to happen at church. It's a tragedy that the pulpits are filled by men who don't have anything to give but milk, if they have that. And it's a tragedy because there are a few who would listen. I know that. I've learned that in these past few years. There are people everywhere who are hungering and thirsting for more than what they can get at their local church. And they're out there scouring, trying to find something to help them. That's the tragedy, that there's people out there that are starving to death because there's nothing for them. But that was not the problem here with the Hebrews in this epistle here. There was more available to them, but they were not able or they were not willing to receive it. Dull of hearing, he says they are. What are the things that keep people from growing in their knowledge and understanding of the Lord and the Lord's ways? Growing in the knowledge and grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think that means? Yes. Well, the first thing is the reason that people do not grow and they just stagnate and they just stay there and just in the first thing. I have to keep thinking the thoughts and I want to jump ahead of myself here. But first, it's the lack of teachers or preachers that have any spiritual maturity. It's common knowledge that a lot of the preachers nowadays get their sermons off of a website or a book they've purchased of ready-made sermons and outlines somebody else has prepared. I get advertisements and emails and other places, you know, often. It's books of sermons, sermon outlines, where it's all ready-made for you. For Easter and Christmas and for every Sunday. I'm not talking about just special days. I'm talking about, you can go, they've got it dated for every Sunday. So you just go through it. And I remember years ago, we went up there to pastor school one time. We met this guy from North Carolina, I believe it was. Brother Love was his name. He pastored a Pentecostal church. But he got Hiles tapes every week. And so They hung out with us up there while we were there and made friends and everything. And they were nice people and all that. But he started sending me in the mail his church bulletin every week after we'd met him up there. And I got to noticing that whatever Hiles preached this Sunday, next Sunday, that was the title of his sermon. He was just preaching what he got off of the tapes every week from Hiles. Just repeating it. And that was 40 years ago nearly. You think that's unusual? Or you think that's common?
Very common.
That's common. That's common. Stuff like that doesn't come from God. Doesn't come from God. It's not one size fits all. That's why there's individual local churches. It's different people. At different stages of growth and different situations and young and old and whatever. I mean, there's too much difference. That's why God puts a certain man in a certain church at a certain time. Most only repeat creeds and doctrines and cliches that they've heard from others. An independent Baptist ain't exempt from this. In fact, they're some of the worst that I've ever seen. They just repeat. They repeat styles. They pick up the style of other preachers and try to clone them. They'll set up schools like Bible schools and try to clone the preacher that's there at that Bible school in the ones that go out. This does not help people to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All it does is give people an identity to gather around. Most are very poor examples by their own worldly lifestyle and carnal living and thinking. What's wrong? Why do people not grow? That's what I'm talking about. Because the preacher that's preaching to them is a poor example. And he is his own lifestyle is worldly and carnal. You're not going to grow under a preacher like that. If you're going to do anything, you're going to go backwards. Many are in it for a profession to make money and not to promote the spiritual welfare of the people. They are hirelings, like Jesus said. And when the wolf cometh, the hireling will flee. Because he's a hireling, he said. Yep. And he doesn't care for the sheep. He's not there to feed them, not to care for them. He's there to draw a paycheck and have a position and to keep from working, most of them. Yeah. And that's a fact. You can just say what you want. Whoever hears it can say and think what they want. But I just don't have much respect, and I can't, for a preacher whose hands are like a woman's hands.
No.
I remember shaking hands with a preacher many years ago. He was a pastor of a church here in town, and I never forgot that handshake because it was so disturbing to me. He's a man, and his hand was as limp as any woman I ever shook hands with. It was like getting a hold of a dead fish or something. It's just, he just laid his hand out there. And he don't even mow his own grass. If his toilet got plugged, his wife would have to plunge it to get it unplugged. Well, I'm being kind of ugly, I guess, but I'm telling you, that's just wrong. Wrong! I understand some things, and if you ain't got enough ambition to know or to care or to know about taking care of yourself and your stuff and your family, how are you going to take care of a church?
Right.
And how could you possibly care about the souls of other people if you don't even care about your own physical stuff and how to take care of it?
Right.
I'm sorry, I just got a bad attitude about all that. But I believe I'm in good company having a bad attitude toward that kind of stuff. People go to hell because of it. Families are destroyed because of it. Life becomes terrible for people because of the lack of spiritual teaching and meat to give people that need it to grow.
That's true, yes, sir.
That was Jesus' charge to Peter. If you love me, feed my sheep.
Yes, sir.
That's the charge. That was the charge to Peter and to every other preacher who's ever lived that's been called by God. That's what he's to do. He ain't to build some great work for God. That ain't his calling. That is not his responsibility before God. His responsibility is to feed the people of God.
Yes, sir.
And to give them what they need. There's also this matter of leaders and teachers who fail to minister to everyone in their care. There's the kind that just preach milk. And then there's the kind that just preach meat all the time. They never have anything for the ones who need the milk. You need a balanced diet.
Yes.
Spiritually as well as physically. You know, there's all these diets going around. Just eat meat. Well, people that do that get sick. Just eat vegetables, no meat. People that do that get sick. They have to do all kinds of tricks and jump through all kinds of hoops to stay healthy. Because you need to eat some meat, but you don't need to eat all meat. And you need to eat some vegetables, but you don't need to eat all vegetables. You don't need to always be trying to micromanage everything. Just eat. And that's the way it is spiritually too. You may not like the sermon today, but you better swallow it down anyway. You may want to hear something else. Well, that's not what's on the menu today.
Right.
The little kids come to the table and they don't like this and they don't like that. And well, I didn't grow up that way, and I know everybody gets tired of hearing it, but we never had that problem. Never had that problem. If I didn't want it, one of my other brothers would say, "Give it to me, I'll eat it." No, it's mine. Everything was divided up even. There were things we liked better than other things, but when you're hungry, you eat. That's just the basic, simple fact of life. And if you come to church hungry, God will make sure you get fed if there's somebody there with anything to feed you.
Amen. That's right.
So there's those in the congregation that can only handle milk, and there's those that need strong meat. And he has to provide for all of them. And sometimes he only focuses on one group to the detriment of the other. That's not right. That's why some people have trouble growing. Second, it's because people in a church don't want to grow in knowledge and understanding of the Lord. There's things to be uttered that are hard to be uttered, but I can't because you're dull of hearing. There's things I need to tell you and explain to you, but you can't. You won't get it because you won't listen. They're there for social reasons, for a group to identify with that makes them feel better about themselves and calms their conscience. Now that's why many people, if not I would say most people, go to church so they can identify with a group of people. And it makes them feel better than hanging out with the people down at the bar somewhere. Yeah. I go to church. Yes, sir. I'm a Christian. They like the principles of the doctrine of Christ, but they don't have any interest in going on to perfection. That's a bad word. That's a no-no. That's been PR'd as something real bad. Perfection. You think you're perfect? Well, everybody knows that thinking that perfection means you don't sin. Everybody's been brainwashed into thinking that, see? And they're so uneducated and ignorant in words that they attach a meaning to it that doesn't exist. So they're not interested. Not interested in going on. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. The next verse after what I stopped reading to you a while ago. Therefore, leaving, are you listening? The principles of the doctrine of Christ. Isn't that kind of a shocking statement for a lot of people nowadays in the world? I wonder if I've ever read Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on. What does it say? Unto perfection.
Yep.
That's what it says. Leaving the doctrines of the principles of the doctrine of Christ. let us go on unto perfection. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to just know that Jesus died for your sins and that He rose from the dead and that you're going to heaven when you die. That's not what all you're supposed to know. That's only the door. And once you're in, you're supposed to move on. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You don't need to hear that over and over and over. Once you're in, you need to go on. You know, your children, they don't just get born every day. Born again and then born again. You don't hang around that. They don't stay on a bottle all their life. There's just a short period of time. They need that. And they need all that care. But they grow. If you feed them, they grow. We see in the news every once in a while where somebody, some evil person, has kept some child that's even 5 or 6 years old in a cage or something and not fed them. And I read one here a couple, 3 years ago, and it seemed to me like it was a 5-year-old child and only weighed like, it was in the teens, like 16, 18 pounds. Starved them almost to death. That's wrong. And it's unnatural. And it's evil. So what is it when it comes to spiritual life? And you've been saved for years, and yet you still, the thing that thrills you the most, the thing that all that you want to talk about, is how that Jesus died for your sins. And because of that, you're going to go to heaven when you die because you believed it. I've never understood it that way. Getting saved is wonderful, but living for God is much more wonderful. Amen. Growing up and understanding the things of God. And being, you know, I don't want to be a baby. We look at childhood and it's the carelessness of it and carefree. You know, how you just, no responsibility and it's all just play, 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 play. But we don't stay children. We don't want to stay children. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, and all of that. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, and that's the way we do it. Do you despair because your children ain't growing up fast enough? Well, that's the thing about church. You know, it takes time. It happens slowly. I read the other day, we were reading, and I read that again. It said, and in the process of time, it came to pass. You see that in Genesis, chapter 4, I believe. Right at the beginning. In the process of time, it came to pass. Well, that's just the way everything works. When it's just like Seth talking in Sunday school, when time passes and we get right, then God will do something with our church.
Yes.
Amen. And that is up to God, but it's also up to us to listen and to grow.
Yes, amen.
And to desire. You know, the Bible said in Peter there that you desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what?
Grow
thereby. Now, I like to drink milk, but not all the time. You know, a little bit of milk does me. Now, when I was a baby, that's all I wanted, I'm sure. I don't even remember it now. But it's what I needed. But in little children, you can see. And, you know, and I don't know I don't care how everybody else feels about it. We've had 6 kids and a whole bunch of grandkids, and I've watched it all my life, and this is how it is. By the time they're 3 or 4 months old, they're getting sick of that milk. They need something else. They're watching you eat, and they don't get it. And it upsets them, and it aggravates them, and frustrates them, and they need more. And when you start giving them a little bit of this and a little bit of that, why? They love it. I've always thought that the expression on a baby's face at that first taste of something sweet besides milk, is going to be what you look like when you step into heaven, somewhat. Because it just so thrills them. They're glad to get something else. It ought to be that way in church with spiritual things. It ought to be that way with you and your soul. You ought to desire more. And it ought to thrill you. And it has been for me. I mean, I've grown because I had an appetite for things besides just the principles of the doctrine of Christ. I never grew much until I learned this right here. Because that's all I heard in church was milk. Milk. That's all I heard was the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. That's all I ever heard. Win souls. Win souls. Get out there and win souls. That's how you do it. You tell them that they're a sinner in it, and you'd hear it in every sermon. Every sermon. Every sermon. Never. I don't ever remember, and I know this may be offensive to some people, but I don't remember hearing a single message in the first several years that I was saved where I learned anything besides that. Over and over and over. And being shamed and intimidated and threatened if I didn't do more, do more, do more. And didn't understand nothing. The only way I grew was when I got somewhere where I heard something else. Where somebody took you on farther than the principles. The first things. The basic. First grade. Kindergarten. It's kindergarten. And that's why he said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That's why people don't grow. They're harboring sin in their lives, and anything more than Jesus loves me, or Jesus will forgive my sins, or Jesus will help me, anything more than that is offensive to them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any attempt to interfere or meddle, that's what they call it. The preacher's meddling now. Any attempt to correct them in the way they're living, the things they're participating in, the way they think about worldly philosophies and stuff, or morality, any attempt to correct that or teach anything that's offensive. Think about it. Don't you face that with your children too? What's Fee's new word? No. I'm not. No, I'm not. Give me a hug. No, I'm not. Well, she used to hug me all the time. Easy. Now she's learned to say no. And she's not unusual. That's the way little children are. They learn to say no. Choice. That has to be dealt with too, doesn't it? Do they like that? Do they just say, oh, yes, Mommy, I understand. Thank you for helping me out with that. People don't do that in church either. When the preaching gets to getting on their toes, they go to getting their bristles up. They ain't going to grow. They ain't going to go nowhere. They're babies. If they're Christians at all, they're just babes. All I want is milk. And they can't grow. So people, you know, that's hardness of heart that we've already been warned about in the book of Hebrews here. Stubbornness, refusing to listen. There's an adamant stone the Bible talks about. People in that state, don't demand a spiritually mature pastor or teacher either. If the preacher leaves and they got to get a new preacher, they're not going to get one that's going to help them. They're going to get one that'll give them milk. They'll change their dirty diapers and pet them and hug them and smile at them. All he'll want to do is just try to get them to smile, because that's what you do with babies, ain't it? That's all anybody does, just try to coax a smile out of them. So they want a pastor just like that. They're not going to grow. They're going to stay in the same state or decline.
That's right.
All the churches says, no, we're looking for the man that God's going to send to us. We want a man of God. We want somebody to tell us the truth. Yeah. They're lying.
Yep, it's true.
They don't want nobody lying. I've watched it over and over and over through the years, and they don't ever do that. Well, instead they refuse anyone who might challenge them to go on higher or to leave off some of their spiritual childishness. They keep the pulpit under control so they can maintain their playground the way they want it. That's what happens. Another reason people don't grow in their knowledge and understanding of the Lord is because they're too involved and busy with their worldly cares and business. When our job, our involvement in other worldly activities, which are innumerable, school, hobbies, anything, you know, anything that keeps us involved, whether it's our job or our worldly activities, or that keeps our mind occupied most of the time, or keeps us from attending church, we're not going to grow. We're going to stagnate, and we're going to slide back. We're going to lose what we got. From you is going to be taken even that which you seemeth to have, that I just read to you in Luke chapter 8 there. You better hold on to what you got. And you better be reaching for more. Because to him that hath, you know, he's going to be given. To him that hath not, even that which he seemeth to have is going to be taken away from him. So, we're not going to grow. When our earthly load is heavy and it strikes, and it just takes a strong effort to stay close to God. And even more to grow and go forward with God. And there's just few people who can do it, let me tell you. That's just the way it is. When you get involved and overloaded and overcharged with the world and its cares, and you get so much on you that you don't have time to think about anything but that, you're not going to grow in the Lord, in the knowledge of the Lord, in your understanding, in the grace of God. You're going to lose what you got. It takes some very strict self-discipline to deal with all the cares of life when you got too many of them. I mean, you got to get out of bed in the morning and have some time with God.
Yes.
While your phone is off.
Yes.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
Or you won't. You're going to lose
Yes. What
you got. Well, they that use milk are unskillful in the word. In the word of righteousness, for they are babes. That's what the verse tells us here. Babies and small children are unskillful, aren't they? Mm-hmm. What can they do? Elizabeth, can Dorothy cook a meal yet? No. She don't have that skill set as the new language we've got. She don't know how to do that yet. Children don't have any skills. They have to be taken care of. Somebody with skills has to do everything for them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Can she do the laundry? Well, what about Ada? Can she do the laundry? Not hardly. She's a year old. You know? So, he that useth milk, they that use milk are unskillful in the word of righteousness, for they are babes. They are unskillful in everything. They got to be cared for and looked after, or they will simply perish. I hear Esther saying all the time, I've got to try to keep these two kids alive. That's about it. When they're little, that is the way it is. If you don't pay attention, they're going somewhere. Down a drain, somewhere. They have nothing to offer or give others. Except their presence.
Yeah.
What good are they? What profit are they? Well, only to the future. You got to see something in them that you don't see right now.
Yep.
Or you don't value them very highly.
That's right.
If you just looked at it in an earthly, carnal, heartless thing, you'd say, oh, there it is. And a lot of people do. That's why they abort millions of them every year. That's why people don't want kids.
Because right, yeah.
They're just trouble. Mess up their life. Cost money.
Yep.
But you're investing something there.
Oh, yes.
And you're doing it in the long haul. Their life, when they're little like that, is about learning what they're allowed or not allowed to do. That's just basically it, ain't it?
Yep.
You're not teaching them deep things yet, are you?
Nope.
No.
Zero.
Yes. You're teaching them yes and no. Okay? No. That's about what it amounts to. And they're having a full-time job just learning that. But in the natural course of things, babies grow up. They don't remain that helpless, unprofitable little thing but for a short time. Babies don't keep, as the saying is, because they grow up. If you feed them, now Brother Parker used to sing that song, you know, kids grow up. If you put the right things in them,
very soon it will show up.
Yes, very soon it will show up. And that's, the Bible is using that example here, that comparison. That ain't something out of my mind. The Bible's using as babes. Babes are unskillful. Anyone who's used unskillful in the word of righteousness, because he's a babe. This is the way babies are. But they grow up. And so it is in spiritual life. There's something drastically wrong somewhere if a person who gets saved doesn't grow and mature into a vessel God can use for the furtherance of his kingdom and to be a blessing and a help to other people. God don't just put us on here on the earth to take up space. And he don't feed us and keep us alive. You know, God has to keep us alive, Esther.
Yep.
We'd kill ourselves. We'd look at these kids and think, oh, why do they do that? Why do they climb around like that and jump to that? But we do the same thing all the time from God's point of view. Wonder if the Lord ever says, don't get in that car and go down the road. Yes, he does. I think if when we get to see how much that is really true, if God reveals that to us one day, and we can see all the times that he kept us alive, we're going to be amazed. But that's the whole point of it all. He's writing to the Hebrews here and says, boy, I've got a lot to tell you. There's so much more you need to learn and understand here to be useful to God, to be able to help other people to understand about God, to bring them to God and an understanding and be saved. To be able to do that, you got to understand these things, and we're just stuck right here. You won't listen. All you want's milk. How many of you really dig? How many of you really can chew that meat up and swallow it? Well, what's being addressed here to the Hebrews is what has destroyed the churches in our day. I've heard Baptist preachers mock and make light of any kind of deeper life or teaching or learning. I've heard them do that over and over. I can prove that. Jack Hiles used to say that often. Mock deeper life. He said, there's no deeper life than the soul winning life. What's the soul winning life? What is soul winning principles? They blatantly declare that there's no deeper life than telling people about Jesus, which is strictly about those principles of the doctrine of Christ that Hebrews 6:1 tells us to leave and go on to perfection. Now, I'm not saying that we're not to tell people about Christ.
Right.
But in order to tell people about Christ, you better know a little bit more than just Jesus died for your sins. If a pastor's not supposed to be a novice, what about a soul winner? But that's what they do all the time. They get them saved, baptized, and put a book, a soul winning book in their hand immediately. Tell them to get out there. The only way to be right with God is get out there and knock on doors. Tell people about Jesus. They don't know nothing about Jesus. They don't know what he did for them, really. They have no understanding. They're just repeating the sales pitch. And you think people get saved like that, you're just a fool. Now, bam. That's what I believe. And I know to be right.
That's right. Amen.
You left out the Spirit of God. You left out any kind of any more that God can give.
That's right.
It's like taking Lucas and putting him in the car and saying, here's the keys, go home. Just the same as what it is. He has no idea. Now, he knows that they're going to go out there and get in the van and go home in the van. But he can't do nothing about that himself. It's like the gate or the door where we're entered in, but we're not to just stop and stay there. We're to go on to perfection. The Bible says so right here. Which means maturity. It means to grow up. That's what the word perfection means. I dare you. Look it up in the dictionary. It means mature. complete. We're to add to our faith, not just stop and drop anchor and refuse to learn anymore. Like an old stubborn mule. I was thinking of all ago. You know, back in the days when they had horses and they had to work with animals and stuff, teamwork was a better understood thing back then, obviously.
Right.
You put three or four horses together, or even two, and I've heard the old-timers talk about it, how one of them be lazy and just drop back and let the other do all the pulling.
Yep.
You know, farmers loved or hated their team.
Yes.
And it was according to how well they worked together.
Yeah.
A team was two horses that worked together, pulled together, obeyed together. They stopped together, started together. They knew how to do it. They were willing to do it. They obeyed. They were a good team of horses or mules. So those who don't grow in the Lord are no blessing to others, but a liability. They'll be the ones that cause problems in the church. If you have problems, you can run it back to that every time. It's some bottle-sucking Christian who don't know anything about anything except what they want and what they feel. And that nobody's going to try to tell them no or yes or anything else. They're going to do it for themselves. That's how a baby, that's how a small child acts. That's the way they think. It's the way they speak. You get them in the church and you got a bunch of crying and screaming and fighting. They'll be the ones that offend and cause others to refuse to come to church. They'll not be the ones that care about the church.
That's right.
Now, Dorothy's getting where she cleans the house up a little for you, don't she?
Yeah.
She's 5 years old. She's starting to grow up. She's starting to realize some things. Do the others help you? Does Ada help you? Does Fee help you?
No. Not really.
No. They don't care about how the house looks. They don't care if there's something rotten under the couch. They know it, but you don't. They don't care. They're not going to be the ones that care about the church. They're not going to be the ones that are concerned about the things that are going on or being said or problems that are brewing. They'll not be the ones that help others through impossible trials and troubles either. They're not comforters. They're just there to be comforted. They have nothing to give. They have nothing to say, really, except it's a selfish thing concerning themselves. They'll not be the ones to help other people. And the kingdom of God needs strong Christians who are mature and grounded in the truths of the Word of God and have real understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. The charge, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. You don't say that to babes. It's a waste of time to say it to babes. Yeah. A group of children are not going to accomplish anything, but they'll make a mess and end up fighting with one another. Now just say, for example, that we just took all five of these little children that we got here and just put them back in that room, close the door, and everybody else come out here and have church. What's going to happen back there? Yeah, I don't even want to think about it. But I promise you this, it's not going to be good. They're not going to play together and get along and fix the room up and come out better for it. It's going to end in total chaos and calamity and destroyed property and probably bloodshed somewhere. Men and women are made out of babies who grow up, though. Just got to remember that. You know, a lot of churches don't have any babies around. I'm talking about physical. They're full of big, fat, grown babies, but and spiritual, you know, but not, no. It's sad when you don't have babies around.
Yes, it is.
It's bad for a church not to have a young Christian around just learning and eager and hungry and wanting it. Sad when it's not like that.
Yes.
It's just good to have babies around. The home. They add life to everything. They're a lot of work. You can't relax too much. But what would it be without them? Do you look at them and think about the future?
Yes, sir.
Are they really arrows in your hand?
Yes.
Or are they just a nuisance that you're putting up with until some other time?
Yeah.
Well, church can't be that way either.
Right.
We got to realize that we're at all different stages in the church. And those that are older, what are the stronger supposed to do? For the weak?
Help.
Yes. That's what everybody does with the babies, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're all here and crammed in this little old place here, and everybody watches after the kids. I mean, they're just back and forth and back and forth. And if they're fixing to get clobbered or something or run over or slammed by the door, everybody's watching to try to... That's the way the church ought to be. Spiritually speaking, I'm talking about. Everybody will be looking out after one another and trying to help and keep them from getting hurt and you know, giving them what they can stand. I come in, they want a mint. They know I got some in my pocket. I didn't today. Seth saved the day because he had some. But all of them don't get one.
No.
The ones that are too little, they're not ready for that yet. You give it to them, what are they going to do? Choke! You think that ain't a difficult job to feed everybody at once and not choke somebody?
Oh, man.
or leave somebody going away hungry? They was ready for a steak and they got a Debbie cake. Yes. That's a difficult job. But it's not really my job, see. It's the Lord's job. My job is to obey the Lord, give what the Lord gives from His Word, and stay close in the Word and as far away from my opinions and feelings and imaginations as I can.
Yes,
and then the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and minister to each one and feed each one. So it's important to be at church. Well, wait a minute, I skipped one here that I wanted to say. Men and women are made out of babies who grow up. So are soldiers and preachers and everybody else. Growing up into maturity doesn't happen quickly. It happens very slowly. One day at a time. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. You get thinking about it. Dorothy's 5 years old. You're talking about 5 years, that's 1,500. You're talking about somewhere close to, well, over 2,000 days so far, Elizabeth. 2,000 days. How many loads of laundry? How many meals? How many trips to the doctor? How many times you got up during the night? It's a long haul, ain't it? To get to five.
Yes.
Well, you got a long ways to go yet. And then when you think it's going to be over, it ain't over.
Nope, never is.
They get married and they go away and you think, ha ha ha, no, it ain't over yet. Do you give up? You say, I'm tired of this. It's about time that they just learn to take care of themselves and stand on their own 2 feet when they're 5 years old. No, don't, you don't get weary in well doing. You just see that you faint not.
Yes.
You just keep on going. Because there's a reward at the end of it. There's something being done and accomplished here that just seems like it's staying the same, but it ain't staying the same.
Right.
Little by little.
Yep.
Line upon line. Day by day. You're going to have a woman one of these days. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a man one of these days.
Right.
And that's the reward of it, see. Well, who was I talking to here a while back about it? It was one of you kids somewhere here, but you know, about when your kids grow up and get married. From where you're at now, you think, oh, no, no, no. And the kids will say, I ain't never getting married. I'm staying with mom and daddy. Well, that'll all change. And they will leave one day. And you won't be so brokenhearted as you think you are if they leave halfway right. Jesus said something about that that your joy may be full. In 1 John, he said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. There's another joy that comes with the reward of all the labor and all the time and the toil and the faithfulness.
Right.
And it's that way in church too. With spiritual things, that's the way it is. You labor and labor. And a lot, you see a lot of loss along the way. But God gives you enough to make it very worthwhile. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people quit and fall by the wayside. But I've seen a few make it. They grew. And they turned into a man, a woman that's spiritual and understands. And that's good enough to keep going. So it's important to be at church when the doors are open. And it's important that there be food on the table when you're there. And it's also important to study the Word of God at home and individually. And I mean study, not just read. Y'all listening to me? I'm quitting here. I got a couple, few verses to read, then we're going to be done. But study. It's important for you to study your Bible.
Yes.
Not just read it. Not just try to calm your conscience or by just reading a couple of verses before you run to work. You know, and don't even know what you did. Study, not just read. Study means to dig into and search out the understanding on different topics and questions. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. That ought to be enough right there. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You ought to be able to give an answer to somebody that asks you. And you're not going to be able to by just coming to church and listening to what I say. You're going to have to get in the Word of God yourself and get some understanding. Learn to feed yourself. And don't live your life having to be spoon-fed by somebody else. It's funny to me, you know, babies again. Well, they want that spoon themselves just as soon as, way before they're able to handle it. They want that in their hand. And they just throw it in the floor and they put it in their hair and they stick it all over their face and dump it. But you let them, don't you? How are they going to learn? Give them the spoon. When you know, I'm saying this, you need to study your Bible. Well, I know what that causes. I've been in church long enough, been at this long enough. It's hard to keep people corralled when they start studying the Bible themselves. Well, they just go to finding all kinds of things, you know. It's hard to get them, keep them from making a mess with it. Y'all understand what I'm saying, Dean?
Yes, sir.
A lot of lightness has been put on the church these days. So we've got a bunch of spiritual nomads running around. Tribesmen, you know, that are, you know, they just got their own little group of teepees and that's where they stay. And they're all, they're all know-it-alls. They know everything. They know what's wrong. And everybody's a fool but them. And when they got out from under the care that God arranged for them before they were ready to, you know, they all want to be somebody. They all want to. And I've got a thing for Wednesday night when we're talking back about the spirits, about this quote I got from this guy, that when he's alone, what he thinks about. Oh, my goodness. How great he is, and he just visions himself preaching to thousands and doing great miracles and all this. That's what he thinks about. But that's what a lot of people think about. They want to be somebody. So they study the scripture to try to figure out how to use that to be somebody. So you got to learn to feed yourself. But you got to learn to take that spoon and get what's in the bowl and put it in your mouth, not all over your face. And you're not going to learn that if somebody don't help you. Job 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said that about the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You want something besides milk? Well, you can have it. Proverbs 24, verse 13 through 14. I'll just read this and we'll be done. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. Isn't that what you do with everything else? You eat what's good, don't you?
Sure.
Eat this spinach. It's good.
It is.
Well, if you like spinach, you might think it's good. I mean, I'll eat it. I just don't really think it's tasty. Unless you put cheese and onions and tomatoes and salt and something else in it. We put it on Esther's plate when she was little and she cried, Mommy, please don't make me eat this grass. So she had grass in her plate. Do you eat spinach now?
Yes.
Huh? How about that? My son, eat thou honey because it's good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. You listening? So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to thy soul. You're going to be so glad when you grow up and understand. That's a lifelong thing, let me tell you. You don't ever stop understanding things that you didn't used to understand. You thought you understood, but when you really understand, it is sweet to your soul. It makes you realize for a fact that you're getting closer to God when you can understand things that used to just be dark to you. Or things that you thought you knew. And then you just figure out, oh my God, I didn't know. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul, and when thou hast found it, there shall be a reward. And thy expectation shall not be cut off. There's a reward. It's like we've been talking about the children. There's a place for babes in the church of God. And everybody ought to take care of them. Because there's a reward.
Yep.
Just like there is with our own children that God gives us. There's a reward. My son, my heart shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. So don't be dull of hearing. Hear. Just listen. Listen for what the Lord can give you. And if someday you find yourself in a church somewhere and the preacher ain't gotten much to give you, or if maybe you feel that way now, you need to look to God and listen anyway. I've always tried to do that because I've had to sit in church where this wasn't, you know, there wasn't much to be had from the preaching and a lot to be that I just couldn't swallow because it wasn't right. But I still looked for God to help me, to show me something, to give me something out of all this. Pick through it, if you will. A lot of you pick stuff out of your food you don't like. Kids do. Remember that. You can find sustenance for your soul. It's like your body. I mean, you can go without much food. You can go with some terrible food. You can keep yourself alive. And it's that way spiritually too. But it's sure good when we got a feast, isn't it? What a shame when people won't eat at a feast. Amen. Well, Father, thank you for the privilege of being here today. We sure are glad that we could have service this morning. Pray you'd bless the word of God to our hearts now. Help us now as we leave. Pray everybody get home safely this morning. Bring us back this evening. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.